Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Lord's Huddle with me, Bram, with me per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I am fired up to announce that joining us for the first time in Huddle history, the co-host of Tolbert & Copes on KNBR 680, a man who used his passion, talent, and knowledge of Bay Area sports to go from an intern in a promotions department to program director at three major sports radio stations, a member of Sport Talent Agency's top 30 sportscasters under 30, and a man who literally just spoke with Ramona Shelburne about Clay and Draymond's run-in with Dirty McDaniels last night, Mr. Adam Copeland. What's going on, Adam?
Oh, dude, what a nice intro. Great to be with you guys. And, dude, what they always leave out when they talk about that, like, intern to program director thing that just happened is a lot of beers and a lot of being unemployed in between. Like, I got to, like, I had fun too. I wasn't like a company man. You know what I mean? Like, I need people to know I'm like a man of the people to some extent, you know?
I mean, I immediately respect that. And so much so, I'll be transparent. I went from an intern to just being an intern in a different company and then an intern in a different company. Like, it never progressed anywhere, dude. But it also involved beer. So, you know, we've got that in common.
As long as you got beer, man. Best beer is a free beer. Second best beer is a cold beer.
Boom. Let's go. Cope. You and I are going to get along, dude.
Well, we
have got way too much Warrior shit to cover. My feelings are hurt from last night, which I'll share in a moment. Before we get there, though, we've never talked to you before. And so we got to explore at least a little about your background. And I'll start here. So I know you were born and raised in the Bay, which means the world to me, man, because there's not a lot of us left anymore. But I'm not sure where. So where in the Bay are you from?
So I grew up in San Leandro. I was born in Castro Valley, grew up in San Leandro. I was a Catholic school kid, Assumption School, off of 136th and Benedict Avenue is where it ran. My dad still lives in San Leandro. He moved there when he was a kid, so he was mostly a San Leandro guy. My mom's from Novato, was born in San Francisco. My grandfather lived over on Persia, over in the Outer Mission Excelsior. So we're pretty set in the Bay. I went to Moreau Catholic in Hayward. Then I went to Chabot College in Hayward, Hesperian High, that's what we called it. And then I came out here to San Francisco State, and I've lived in Daly City, Colma. I live in North Beach now, about a mile from the station I'm in right now. So, yeah, man, it's I love growing up in the Bay, man. It's funny you said that about not very many of us left. Whenever I meet somebody in San Francisco who's from San Francisco, and I'm talking like somebody who's like under 40, because that it's like I go weeks and I don't see a kid in San Francisco unless you're in the Sunset. Right. So you meet somebody in the city, I'm always like, you're a unicorn. People aren't from San Francisco anymore. So I'm like, I'm glad you feel that way about the Bay Area, because I don't think about it as much because I'm always enamored with the San Francisco.
So I've got an 8-year-old in my life. And what that means is my social circle is aggressively expanding. You know, like I got to meet everybody through the birthday parties and stuff like that. And so everybody I meet is no longer from here. They just live here and they're always shocked to meet someone who's from here. So, you know, amazing to meet another Bayhead. I'm imagining you grew up a Warriors fan.
Yeah, of course, man. Me and my buddy Ethan Brem, shout him out, dude. I'm Giants first and foremost. It's my number one thing. I'm just a diehard baseball fan. And then when I was in seventh grade, I never played basketball as an athlete. I got really into it, started playing in middle school and then into high school. But my best friend is a diehard Warrior fan. Like, I'm talking, they won 17 games, I think they won 17, then 19 or 1917 when we were like fifth grade and sixth grade. Mookie Blaylock, Eric Dampier, Mark Jackson, the center. I remember we used to go to that final. They'd have the open practice at the arena, right? We go to that final open practice, and he hit like a half-court shot. We were all hyped on, and he made the team. Bad decision to make the team. We go to the Warriors Read to Achieve nights at the libraries to win tickets. We'd sit there with like Yuri Welsh, photos on a popsicle stick, and try to get his and Bob Serra's attention. I was a diehard for a team that was just kind of an afterthought because it was accessible, man. It was a lot of fun for kids in East Bay.
Dude, the only name you didn't drop there is Vontigo Cummings. Nicely fucking played. And come on, Mark Jackson, I remember him losing by 30, hitting a layup, and then turning to the bench and screaming, "Unstoppable, baby.
Unstoppable, baby." Dude, that was my buddy used to yell it on the playground. That same friend used to yell it on the playground. "Unstoppable, baby." We're like, dude, we're playground.
I mean, he was in fact unstoppable. It is what it is. You know, I mean, he's just telling the truth. And I'm also assuming, because I'm sure it's true for all of us, if you're from the Bay, you grew up listening to KNBR. So to put these things together, dream job, dude, fucking sports director at the station that you listen to your entire life.
I'd say this is beyond dream job. Like when Bob Melvin got hired by the Giants, he's like, you think about playing for your childhood team, you don't think about coaching it. And I was like, and then he's like, both of them, and to go to Cal, like, I was thinking that exact same thing. I'm like, it's wild, because when I got asked to do the show with Murph and Mac, when they offered me that gig, I remember the day that show started. I was driving my sister to school. I was a junior in high school, and I was on Foothill, and I remember we were driving to Moreau Catholic, and I was like, dude, this show is great. We used to listen to that. We go to like Don Blue. We go to Lamont Pinelli for Dirty Fridays. Like, I used to listen to Loveline, and everything I know about sex, I learned from Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla between like 2000 and 2005, when I started like experimenting myself, you know? So my sister and I would drive, and she used to get pissed, and we'd have Murphy Mac, and I said, I just want to listen to sports. But I got into so many things, dude. I'd never paid any attention to golf until I listened to David Dusek from golf.com with Fitz and Brooks on Saturdays. I became an intern here, and that was cool. But like getting to host shows and be around it and work with Tom Tolbert, he's a basketball card, like literally. But to me, because I didn't see him play, I don't remember him playing at all. I was born in 89. And so I asked him recently, like, I don't remember you not being on the air at KNBR. And he said, I started in 96. I was in first grade or something, man. So, yeah, dude, it's a dream come true to work here. It's incredible to be, like, you know, cracking jokes with Greg Papa and Tom Tolbert. It's what are we doing, you know?
So I'll give you a sense of Maxime and I's personality. I'm a crazy person, and like, I take everything way too hard. Here's illustration number one. I'm bitter that you have your dream job and I don't. We just met, and I'm jealous of it.
Yeah, well, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, dude. We're going to get off of this.
Appreciate you saying that.
Call, and I'm going to go do some more work.
You know? Yeah, okay. Thank you.
What you hear is fun.
Feel better about that to finish out the picture. Maxime's a genuinely
good person. My life sucks. It's terrible. You know,
hey, you know what? I wish you had just said that earlier. Now I feel much better about this. I'm sure Maxime is rooting for you to enjoy your job. So you've got that upside.
Appreciate it, boys. No, this is good. This is fun. Doing this stuff's fun.
All right. We got to keep the pedal to the metal here, because I know we've got you for a really limited time. So I'm going to keep the other Adam Copeland-focused questions in pocket and go to the Warriors. All right. Sure. So here's we're going to break normal tradition today. What we normally do, we do this thing called glass half full, look back at Warriors hoop, give us something we like or don't, or even golden questions.
We're doing that. I'm coming back. I'm booking myself for you. I'm coming back because I want to do it, and I botched how much time I had.
We want you, but here's what good we deal. Are going to do while we have you. Wednesday night fights, Adam. So here's the idea. We are less than 24 hours removed from professional basketball history. Three players, count them, ejected without a single point on the board. I got a lot of follow-up questions, but let me start here because I just shared a piece of my personality. I want a piece of yours. How did you experience it when it happened? And here's what I mean. I'm watching with my wife. Yeah. Goes down. She watches. She's interested. We rewound it. We went through it. But it's the same way if there had been a fight in a movie. She watched the rest of it without being emotionally involved. It just was what it was. It's something that happened in that TV show. Me, I lost my shit the rest of the night. I was so emotionally invested, super angry. I was angry today. It stuck with me. So for you, that goes down. Which side of that spectrum are you on? Does it impact you emotionally?
Emotion for me with basketball. Sports is different with me with emotion. Baseball is the one. The Giants are the one that really hit me emotionally. Warriors, for me, I'm more analytical about it because I learned the game later, and I'm just a fan. I'm fascinated by it, right? It's incredible to watch what's happened to them. Like, this is a joke for anybody from here. It's a joke that they're what they are. So, honestly, the way it happened for me is I went to the bathroom, and I came out of the bathroom. The game had just started. Like, I knew it was tipping off, right? I just started. I'm running to the bathroom. Come out of the bathroom, and my fiance's in the kitchen. And I hear the fracas on TV, and she goes, is this live? And I stopped, and I kind of stood, and I looked, and I swear to God, I stood for like 5 or 6 seconds trying to figure out if this was where this was from. Was this an old Draymond incident? Like, which time did Draymond get into a fight? I was like, because I don't know, he doesn't like Rudy Gobert. He always talks about him. And then and then once I looked down at the score, and there was, 10 minutes or something left on the clock? What is going on? I was baffled. And then, because I didn't see the initial incident with play, right? So then I had to rewind and I go back and I watch it all. Then I watched it like 10 or 11 times. I had to catch back up to the game. I was laughing, dude. It cracked me up. So I was like, what is Draymond doing? Sometimes I can't fathom. And so what I try to do a lot, especially in this industry now and getting to have resources like these guys, like Tom Tolbert, who you and I listen to our whole lives and are like, this guy is the best. You ask him, because for me as a fan, I watch Draymond do that and I say, this is a different incident than any of the other ones he's had. This isn't dragging a guy down on his back. This isn't stomping on Domantas Sabonis' chest. This isn't kicking Steven Adams in the balls. This isn't, you know, doing the same thing to LeBron. Like, it's not any of those things, because it was centered around a teammate, and it was centered around a long-term teammate. And I think it's important to note that, because we crack, and I did myself today. You crack a lot of jokes about Jordan Poole, right? This is a guy who punched a teammate in the face last year in the preseason and probably changed the dynamic of the organization. So my initial reaction is, like, I get what he's doing, but at some point in that altercation, he crossed the line, and we'll get to the suspension, but that was my reaction. He crossed the line, and it was it unexpected? No, but it was a little bit like, what are you doing, man? Come on.
Here, so I was going to go Clay Jaden first, but since we only have you for a moment, let's break down Draymond v. Gobert. All right, so I'm ultimately going to ask you, was Draymond justified at all? You know, I mean, we've got the suspension to look at, and I understand he did wrong, but I'm going to ask you, do you know, is there some justification here? First, a little bit of background. There's funk between them. They're both Defensive Player of the Year guys. I heard Ramona on your show talk about that.
Different defensive guys. Uh-huh. There's a little bit of tension, maybe.
There's competitiveness there already, which makes sense to me. And then there's specific shit. Last year, Draymond punches Poole. Gobert takes to Twitter and tweets out insecurities loud. Then later in the year, after Minnesota's having kind of a shitty start to the season, Gobert gets into a fight in the huddle with his teammate, right? Kyle Anderson. And then Draymond tweets out insecurity is loud. So there's, you know, there was a little thing beforehand. Then we get to last night. All right. I'll save the video. I have it, but we don't need to waste time on that. We've seen it. And I guess what I wanted to highlight had I showed you the video is there's a second where Gobert has Clay in a headlock. Now, that, you know, I'm using an aggressive term there. Gobert said he was a peacemaker, and what he was trying to do is de-escalate the situation. But what he did to de-escalate it is grab Clay from behind, and then Dre goes crazy. All right, so question number one. Justified in any way? Was Draymond justified in what he did?
Yes. In my mind, yes. Now, again, and this is a Warriors fan, and we just talked about where we grew up, right? And I know that anybody who heard this outside would say, you're ridiculous. I also think he should have been suspended. So I'll preface it with that. Was he justified in what he did? Absolutely. Because if any of us, I don't care what team you're rooting for, are at a bar and you see your buddy in what looks like a fight, whether you're running over to throw a punch, and I got to tell you, I'm not a fighting guy. I am a big breakup fights guy.
Yeah, I can't.
But I can't tell you how many times I've been hit breaking up a fight. Because you're running, you're trying to pull. And when you're trying to get to somebody you know, sometimes you're not thinking about what you're doing. Rudy Gobert, in that moment, if you're going to say Draymond doesn't know what he's doing, if anger takes over, then the same has to be true for Rudy Gobert, and you have to give him that same pass. So is Draymond justified in what he did? Rudy Gobert went over and got involved in an altercation with two guys on opposite teams, which that's sports. That's what happens. Draymond getting involved there too in the way that he did. Did he want to get involved? Maybe. Maybe that's something under, like, we'll never know that. And maybe that's something that's an underlying thing, but I can't imagine any of us wouldn't run to the help of a friend or a teammate, and I would do the same thing. And Tom Tolbert today said to us, you can't understand that until you're in that moment.
I love Tolbert had a couple of things he told you today that stuck out to me that fits in right here. One, you can't look into somebody else's mind. So even if Rudy 100% was a peacemaker, in that's exactly what he wanted, there's no reason that Draymond would know that when he sees everything in this heated moment, you know, off it goes. Two, if he wanted to be peacemaker, why the fuck didn't he pull off one of his teammates? What's he going after Clay for? I mean, like, what, how, and not to say that Gobert wasn't trying to de-escalate things, but if you want there to be no justification, keep your hands off of the other team, dude. Like, that's the only direction.
That's also, sorry to interrupt you, that's also why Rudy Gobert was fine. That's why after the game, when the pool reporter says to Anthony Slater, we believe he was a peacemaker upon looking at the video. If you think he's going over to pull Clay off and be like, hey, you can't be doing this, I want to be, and then Draymond then grabs him and drags him, I can understand the official seeing it that way. However, the NBA says you shouldn't be putting your hands on another player on another team, and that's going to result in a fine, the same fine that Clay Thompson and Jaden McDaniels get. So in the eyes of the league, they're seeing it the way we're seeing it. In the eyes of the league, they're seeing that incident the same way. I don't think Clay should have been ejected. I don't think Draymond should have been suspended 5. 5 is weird. It's the most anybody's been suspended for an on-court incident, I believe, since Ron Artest. This is quick in-show research today in 2010-11, or it was 11-12 when he threw a ball off James Harden's head. So there haven't been a lot of situations like this. It's unique.
Maxime, let me go to you and let's pick up where Adam just left us. All right. So he's right. There's not a lot of 5-game suspensions, dude. I looked it up. And so the aftermath, as we learned today via Wojciechowski, Draymond's out 5 games and then a $25,000 fine for the other people involved. And so I looked it up, right? The only 5-game suspension I could find was Kyrie Irving, not by the league, by his team after all the anti-Semitic shit last year. All right. So there's a 5-game thing. But there's been a bunch of 6-games suspensions, boys. Let me give those to you. And then, Maxime, I'm going to ask you, is 5 games too much, too little? Is it justified? Here are the people in the history of the league who've been suspended 6 games. So just one more game than Draymond's currently facing. Ben Wallace in the 2004-05 season. On November 19th, 2004. And this is the description from the NBA. Wallace shoved Indiana player Ron Artest after a hard fall or foul during an NBA game. Malice in the Palace, right? Yep. This is the start of the Malice.
You know, I was watching at the Englander in San Leandro.
Oh, boom! Yeah. The Krogan's in Montclair, and I was losing my shit. DJ Mbenga on the 2005-06 season, June of 2006, Mbenga entered the stands to aid the wife of head coach Avery Johnson, who was in the confrontation with two fans. Next one, Marty Collins, 2006-07. Collins flagrantly fouled J.R. Smith and tried to attack Carmelo Anthony during a brawl. Willie Reed, 16-17. Reed was suspended following a domestic violence incident against his wife on August 5th of the previous year. Finally, Dion Waiters, 19-20. In December of 19, Waiters called in work sick before posting a picture of himself on a boat celebrating his 28th birthday.
Nice. Okay. That a boy. Hell yeah.
Brawls, fights with fans, lying about being sick. Yeah. And then... And that's it.
Domestic
then,
violence?
Then, yeah, domestic violence, okay? In that context,
John Morant, 8 games, you know?
Is it justified? Maxime, what do you think, dude? 5 games, you know, is that the right number here?
I mean, you're not only does my gut say it's not right, but you're backing it up with the statistics. I just don't think that this is in the same camp at all. You know, to me, I'm feeling more like 3 games is what I would have expected. But again, we know that this is the case. The league overreacts to Draymond consistently. So this is a pattern that's like, oh, it makes sense because it's Draymond, but that's the only reason.
Adam, let's change the name. It's no longer Draymond Green. Now it's Greymond Drain. You know, like it's just a different person. Yeah. They do the exact same thing. It's exactly what happens last night. Still a 5-game suspension?
I can't imagine so. I mean, we just talked about how unique it was and how rare it is for that to happen. And it's an on-court incident. I'd be really, really, really interested to know. And we don't know if the malice doesn't happen. If nobody throws that drink that hits Ron Artest, does Ben Wallace still see 6 games? Because he probably still gets a suspension for that foul. It was a really bad foul. And that game was over. I remember it was over. We were watching something else. It was on a small TV. And there was like something else on the projector. And it was up in the corner and they threw it on the big screen. But I don't know, because like the foul was really bad by Ben Wallace, but it was a bad foul for what basketball is. It wasn't like a Draymond to me at some point went beyond basketball. Once you put your arm around the guy and it's like, I feel this whole like chokehold, like what are they saying? Chokehold versus headlock thing is so stupid because it's like arguing was Jordan Poole sucker punch. Like who gives a shit, dude? So the thing was the whole thing over the line and like, it doesn't matter what was said, you know? Was he justified in helping his buddy? Yeah. At some point did it cross the line? Yeah. Is the suspension high? Yeah. Would it happen to anybody else? Probably not. But we'll take the 4 rings and the 5 games, you know?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unfortunately, we had limited time with Adam and loved having him here. We'll have him back on. We'll explore this. But Maxime, you and I still have a lot of shit to talk about as far as these fights are concerned. And the next question I want to ask you is what I'm kind of fired up for. All right. So the question is going to be who had their teams back more? Draymond foreseeing what was going down with Clay, right? And stepping in and literally having his back, or Rudy Gobert for not throwing a punch and not getting kicked out. And to add a little context before you give us any kind of response, let me share a couple of things with you. First, let me share Rudy's take on what he did and why he did it.
You know, it's kind of funny because before the game, I was telling myself that Steph is not playing, so I know Draymond's gonna try to get ejected, because every time Steph doesn't play, you know, he doesn't want to play without his guy Steph, so he just do anything he can to get ejected. So it's all good, you know.
What did you think when you saw the video of it?
I mean, nothing more. You know, it's just clown behavior, you know, and I'm proud of myself for, you know, being the bigger man again and again, you know, and yeah, you know, it doesn't even deserve me putting my hands on him, you know. I think it just, you know, my team needed me tonight, and I did whatever I could to you know, keep my cool and then show that I wasn't making the situation worse.
All right, so there is Rudy explaining how he had his team's back, right? Put those hands out, showed the ref he wasn't doing anything, keep me in the game, and trust me, Maxine, we will chase down whether or not we think Draymond purposely got ejected. But before we get there, let's also consider the other side on this. I'm not going to play it from Draymond, though. I'm going to play you a quote from Pat Beverly. This is from the Pat Bev pod giving endless shit to Karl Anthony Towns from last night because Towns did not have his teammates back in the way that Draymond did. And Pat Bev explains the impact on that of this relationship, of these two teams against each other, and the whole nine yards. Let's get Pat Bev's take.
Dude, I seen Draymond choke the shit out of motherfucker there. Cat bogus as hell.
What?
No.
Cat's bogus?
Yeah, he's bogus, man. Cat bogus, man. Straight up. And Ant was back there too. And Draymond knew too. Don't nobody like Rudy anyway. That was a perfect moment to do it. Like, fuck it. Let me choke Rudy ass.
And he did not let go.
No, a person choke you like that, don't let go. That shit was built up. But Daniels, then I see Cat make a mean mug face like, but then you ain't doing shit. Choke Draymond back. So now, if I'm Draymond, I choke they center and they homies didn't do nothing. If we play y'all in the playoffs, wow, Cat, I ain't worried about you. You didn't even help your homie.
So how can he rectify this?
Can't. So what? And you can't even like try to get your get back. So what? Whole world, I'm saying.
Thanks, Cat.
He in the game.
Oh, he's still playing? He didn't get...
He didn't do shit. Fuck, why would he get booed? He didn't do shit.
All right, so those are both sides. Also, random aside, something about player podcasts that make me rethink the way I view previously hated players that made me really like Pat Bev, and I have disliked him in so many settings. But okay, so you kind of heard both sides, right? The one side, Gobert, wanted to stay on the floor. Something that we really could have used from Draymond last night because we didn't have Steph and we were losing Klay. Also, Pat Bev, the benefit of having a teammate's back and what that not only means to the teammate, what it means to the opponents the next time you see him. All right, so in your mind, which one of those two made the right call? Who had their team's back more last night, Gobert or Draymond?
Straight up, Draymond had the back more. I understand what Rudy is saying, but this is, I know it's the in-season tournament, and so therefore, sure, there are more stakes. This is a regular season game. This would be like saying, oh, Steve Kerr didn't have the team's back because he, you know, he got a technical and got himself thrown out of the game. No, sometimes you need to make a point. This is an 82-game season, not the in-season. The in-season tournament doesn't matter. There are other implications that we need to get into, but in terms of the exact question of who had their team's back more, Draymond, 100%.
I think it's a matter of how much time you put into this, right? If you're looking at just that game, that's it. We're looking at the impact of November 14th, 2023, and who wins that game? Well, Gobert, no question. We needed Dre. He was gone. And so, you know, him not being able to help his teammates, he didn't have his teammates back. Expand the scope. Consider 5 years, 10 years, the amount of time these guys have played together, the amount of time they're going to know each other going into the future, the larger that scope gets, the more I think it defends Draymond's position. That it did. Who gives a shit about that one game? You put hands on Klay, he puts hands on you. You know, and it's the definition of teammates who are that close, right? And who have built this bond through war and sports. So I also agree with you. I understand the other side, but I don't know. I think it's more important that he did that.
So I agree the point I was getting at, Rudy in the comments that we just played contextualized it in a way that kind of changed. Like, he's playing podium chess. I was very impressed by that, because as soon as he talked about, oh yeah, well, I knew I needed to stay in the game because that's how you help your teammates, I was immediately reminded of game 4 of the 2016 finals, when essentially Draymond's ejection for, you know, punching LeBron in the nuts is what, or kicking him in the nuts rather, probably lost us the 2016 finals, or at least we would have had a much better shot. And so, right, by framing it in that way, I'm reminded, oh, Draymond actually doesn't necessarily distinguish between when it's an important game and when it's not an important game. And so I think Rudy is winning the mental battle here a little bit, because I can't help but think about, like, yeah, but this is just as likely to happen in a playoff series against Minnesota, for example, come at the end of the season.
I'm going to lean on Pat Bev again. I think that Draymond did what he did for Clay for the first 5 seconds, 10 seconds. I don't know. I think he saw something, hopped in, and pulled Rudy off. Then when he held on to him for as long as he did, I'm not sure that was for Clay anymore. And Pat Bev, when you play back that clip, what he says is when he held on to him for that long, that shit was built up, you know? And I think somewhere along the 10 to 15 yards that he like dragged him backwards, it transitioned from don't touch Clay to him losing it a little bit and seeing red, and maybe his relationship with Gobert, in which case it wasn't for the team, you know? And so that was my reaction when we were talking about Copeland. I didn't break that down. When it first happened, I was on board, and then 8-9 seconds in, I'm like, let him go. I'm like, I'm screaming at the television screen because I didn't understand that portion. You had already split it up. You didn't need to hold on to him for as long as he did.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, it's just not the best look, you know? I'm right there with you. That was a very frustrating component of all this.
That leaves the other fracas, all right? The one that started it, Clay v. Jaden. And this is a personal one for me, because I'm getting fucking dragged on Twitter. So I took to Twitter right after it happened, tweeted out McDaniels is dirty as shit, included a 6-second video of the interaction I took from my television screen. As we sit here right now, that 6-second video has been seen 4.8 million times. And of those 4.8, about 99% think I'm an asshole and that I was wrong. And I'm just nonstop. I'm much better. And I'd like to tell you, Maxine, that it doesn't bother me, that like I did that and I look at it and I'm all hell of happy. Every one of the like 10,000 fuck you responses we've got, I've read and taken to heart. So it's hurting me. All right. So leads to this question. When you watched it, who do you blame? You know, between the whether or not Clay grabbed his jersey, was he just boxing him out? You watch that interaction. Who do you think started it? Who do you think's most at fault?
Man, very neutral. It's hard for me to see Clay reaching out first and just grabbing his collar and not think, okay, well, this is the inciting event. I'm not sure that I'm seeing anything before that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Bram. That feels like the start of things, you know? And then I'm not really sure if McDaniels is holding on to his hand and then they start kind of twirling around each other. But it does sort of seem like, in terms of a jersey grab, Clay started it.
So here's where I say, fuck you. You can join that list of people in there. Here's what I saw. And he may or may not have grabbed the jersey. I forget the name of that portion of the jersey that goes over your shoulder. It's like the striplet or something. But what I saw is that Clay was trying to box out in an area you aren't always going to be boxing out. They were out of the paint. They're over close to the bench. And so in that position, you can't use your back yet. You're not going to push him off. What you have to do is see where the ball's going, and you still have to know where the other player is. Mm. And so the way you do that, your spatial awareness, is you use your eyes and your face to watch the ball, and you use your hand to find out where the bad guy is, you know, where the player is. And then once you know where the ball is and you know where the player is, you now use your back to box him out and go get the ball. I think that's what he did. I think he was trying to just get a sense of where McDaniels was. Whether or not he may have grabbed the jersey while he was doing that, but I think that initial inciting event, and I'll admit it was Clay's hand that started it, I don't think that there was any ill will at all when he did that. And then from there on out, ill will exploded. McDaniels didn't like it, held his hand and pulled him in. Clay didn't like that McDaniels held his hand. They get tangled up, down they go to the floor. Next thing we know, Clay is shirtless and everyone's getting ejected. So of the things, if I'm trying to put in some kind of like mental component to this, you know, intent, I don't think at any moment Clay had any evil intent. I think from the moment that thing fucking started, McDaniels did, you know, and maybe he was misinterpreting what went down with Clay. But if I'm going to justify why I think we can blame Dirty McDaniels or why I've come up with that nickname, that's why. I don't think he reached out to grab the jersey. He reached a box out. What do you think? Did I talk you into it?
You kind of did. I mean, I think the argument that you're saying is not so much who actually started the physical altercation, but who started maybe the mental altercation, right? That McDaniels was the first one to be angry about it. Clay's just trying to play basketball.
Physical contact happens on the court. I mean, that can be part of the game. I think that Clay's physical contact was game related. I think the rest of it was not. And, you know, I think that's the easiest way to break it down. But I'm a homer. You know, it is what it is. This is something I wanted to scream at about 400,000 people today. But instead, I just read it and sobbed to myself. How do you think you would take that if you were getting dragged by strangers? You know, would you take it hard? Do you not care? Would you not read it? You know, what's your analysis on that?
Maybe Bram, it's just that I'm sleep deprived. I'm going to give you the truest answer I'm maybe ever given on this show. This is just why I'm not on social media. Just straight up. This is why I don't engage with social media. I'm so worried about getting dragged for a take that I would just rather not participate in the ecosystem.
I'm too mature to take it hard. I certainly don't refresh it every 8 seconds and then just read everything and slowly take it super hard. So yeah, you know. It is what it is. We got to take the invitation. You said sleep deprived. We didn't get a chance to do it up front. I won't save it till late now. Family news, dude. How you been? How come we haven't seen you for a while?
Yeah, I'm a new dad. My wife had our son about 8 days ago, so took a little break. But you know what? The crazy thing about all of it is, and Bram, you know, and Marcus does too, because you're both fathers already. I'm able to focus on basketball more than I feel like I've ever had before. I'm basically just sleeping, making sure this kid's getting fed by making sure my wife's getting fed and watching a lot of hoop. So it's like good life.
I respect it. You're going to want to delete this in about 10 to 15 years just in case your son checks it out. But no, that all is factually accurate. And I'm really impressed with your ability to complete sentences, man. Now you are seemingly totally coherent and awake and making moves here. So I'm impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had to occasionally dip off camera to like wipe the drool off of my face, and I'm sure that I will faceplant into the computer as soon as this recording is over, but I'm giving it all my adrenaline right now.
I'm hoping you go down beforehand. We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But most importantly, congratulations to you, to Natalie, to the whole family, man. Welcome to the world, and it makes this conversation even more significant. It is your son's first Draymond suspension. I mean, I remember where I was for my first, dude. That's fantastic.
Yeah. He'll look back on this. We might, you know, commemorate this in some way. I don't know, put it on a CD and frame it or something.
Flipping back to on-court fights. Have you ever been in a sports setting where there was a fight? Have you ever been in like in a game or something like that and people went after it?
Oh, I don't think so. That's a good question. Not to my memory.
I first year at Skyline, we played in Richmond and I was on JV. And then that time JV played first. And so we went down, we won, we had a pretty good team. And then we sat in the stands at Richmond and spent 3.5 quarters talking shit to anyone who would listen. I mean, I'm a fucking 15 or whatever it is and talking as much as I can. And during the varsity game, it comes down to a final shot. A guy named Jason Wright playing for our team hits the shot, and it was kind of an ugly game. And during the post game handshakes, somebody spits in Jay Wright's ear and Jay Wright slaps him and a riot ensues. Literally there's five people spill out of the stands and now they're fighting everywhere. And I have spent the last 45 minutes talking shit to all these people who are now fighting around me. I have never been that scared. I'd like to tell you, like, I fought my way out. No one's ever run faster to a locker room. I wasn't even sure, like, where the locker room was. I remember losing my headphones and be like, those are gone forever. Like, I didn't even look back. Like, there was no time at all. So I've been, here's what that experience teaches me without fighting in any way. The decisions that are made during that, you know, who's punching who's pulling people away, where you're going, where you're not. There's not a lot of logic involved, Maxime. You know, we have it now. When I look back through these videos and spend a bunch of time, I can tell you exactly, oh, he's a peacemaker. He's not. I look at his intent. When it's happening, when that thing is going down, the decisions you make with no time in between, there's no logic, dude. You know, it's just, you're just reacting, which I think is an important thing to kind of note here.
I completely agree. It's one of the main things I've been thinking about this whole time. Draymond does not have the benefit of a replay in his brain as he's going into that. And if, you know, he's not necessarily processing that there's a fight happening. He looks over. He just sees the split second where there's a Gobert arm around a Klay Thompson neck. That's all you need. Everything else is red. I really don't blame him for overreacting in the outset. I wish he'd calm down quicker, but I get it.
Yeah, after the 6 seconds. Same thing for McDaniels and Klay, too. You know, I mean, it's a bang-bang interaction that suddenly people are going to be focusing on and talking about forever. Last question. And it's probably our most important, so we'll just do it fast and then we'll really explore it on the next episode. And it's a golden question, but I'll paraphrase it as opposed to read it. Really, what this listener was saying is a tale of two teams. We were world beaters when we were sitting at 6-2. Now we are 6-6, and it seems like the world beats us. Are you worried?
Yeah, I am worried. I think that 6-2 in retrospect is just another campaign for a Steph MVP season. I mean, he put the team on his back so hard, you might as well call him Atlas. This dude was unbelievable. And so, you know, and then he comes back down to earth, and it turns out that, or not even comes back down to earth, but is out of game, whatever. We need somebody else, man. You know, like I'm worried that Klay is not going to come back from this. It's not going to be a slow start to the season, but it might actually just be a slow season. If Wiggins happened to be unique in how he played for us before, and this is his Minnesota form, which is actually who he is, we might not have a team that's constructed well enough to actually compete this year.
So I think it comes down to offense. I mean, you nailed it. How worried am I? I'm forcefully being optimistic. I want to believe these are good players who are not playing well, as opposed to people who are beyond, you know, their ability to really contribute. And it comes down to scoring. You know, I mean, this isn't breaking news, man. Nobody could score 20 points who wasn't named Steph Curry until last night. And I don't feel really good resting our offensive future on Dario Saric or Brandon Podzinski, as much as I loved what they did last night. They are role players. They're not your leading scorers. And so it comes down to, like, here's some numbers I pulled. These are points per game for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 top six scores for the Golden State Warriors. Up top, Steph, 30.7. So MVP type numbers. Then not so MVP. Klay, 14.6. Oh. Kuminga, 11.5. Wiggins, 10.4. Saric, 9.2. Dre, 8.8. Chris Paul, 8.8. You know, I always use this phrase, if you had to bet something that means something to you, mortgage, whatever it is, if I had to bet on which of these players will average more than 18 points per game going forward versus like nobody, I don't know, man. I mean, I want to say it's Klay or Wiggins, but I've been wanting to say that for the last 4 games, for the last 12 games, and it hasn't come to fruition, but I'm going to end this where I started it. Forceful optimism. Something's going on with Wiggins, and I want to think it's his rib or some mental issue he can get beyond. One of the things that stuck out last night is that he was locked in. He didn't, his numbers weren't great, but his aggression was back. And so I do believe that these guys are still good enough to find it, but they're going to have to find it in order for them to have the season that we want, because the way it's currently playing out, there's not a future to this. You know, this is a play-in team if this is how they continue. Whereas if we get another, you know, 18 to 20 points per score, it's a title contender.
Agreed. And Slater reported that Wiggins had a truncated offseason. I'm not entirely sure why, but I think there's reason for, you know, optimism that he's going to ramp back up to be that consistent 18 points per game, you know, with his eyes closed. Chris Paul should be shooting at least a little bit better than he is. I don't think that his game is, entirely surrounded on shooting the way that Klay's is. So I feel like it's a component that will round into form. I am worried about Klay, but I think there's enough, to your point, of other contributors that haven't started contributing yet that likely will.
Last night was the first time I felt like the missed shots were impacting the shots he was willing to take with Paul. So I've been nothing but complimentary this year, and I'm continuing to be. I like the move. I like what he does. At the end of last night's game, Chris Paul was our best shot at having a grizzled veteran run the show. In fact, had everyone been healthy and available and not ejected, Chris Paul probably still would have had the ball in his hands to do that. And in that last opportunity the Warriors had, he got it into what Fitzgerald calls his office. He got to the fucking free throw line. And instead of taking that jumper wide open, he kept pressing and then forced it to Dario, who got his three blocked, which was a little frustrating. And I felt like maybe Paul didn't take that because the shot wasn't falling this season, but you know, it is what it is. Good to have you back, man. We missed you. Yeah. You have a fatherly glow about you. You seem like more mature and just a genuinely better person. Nicely played.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's the lack of sleep.
I do too. But you know, whatever gets you there. For us, you want to let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job, you can shoot us an email too.
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Unless you are one of those motherfuckers who destroyed me on Twitter, then you can keep your opinions to yourself. We're also on other social media, so you can find us just by searching Warriors Huddle. With that in mind, go Warriors! Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.